should start counting.
Okay, this is Revelation chapter 11. Again, I think this is kind of a short chapter. In this commentary, I'm going to just highlight three things, and those three things are measurement, the two witnesses, and the seventh trumpet. In the beginning of this chapter, John is told to measure the inner court, excluding the outer court. In Scripture, measuring is a symbolic action to show division between the holy and the unholy, or profane. The holy is set aside for protection from destruction. We can see this in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 22, verse 26 and 40 through 43, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, and Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 16, as well as chapter 51, verse 19. This aspect of measuring and setting up boundaries is linked to seeing and judging. So this call of measurement is to mark and protect what is good and leave what is not good to the world. The Greek word used in verse 2, but exclude the outer court, is called ekbalo. A more literal translation might be to cast out or excommunicate. This word ekbalo is most often used in the New Testament for casting out evil spirits, and we see this in Mark chapter 1, 34. In other words, John is being told to cast out or excommunicate the outer court, which is where those who are not part of the covenant could gather. Prior to 70 AD, that group of non-covenanters, was considered to be the Gentile dogs. Now the definition of non-covenanters will be changed to include those Jews who reject the Messiah. So basically, it's all those who reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. John's measuring of the inner court is the protection of the true new covenant Israel from the outpouring of God's judgment and wrath. The outer court represents the part of Israel which is to be cut off from the number of the faithful new covenant people who are now God's temple, his dwelling place. Jesus himself in Matthew 8, 5 through 13, and Luke 13, 22 through 30, that unbelieving Jews as a whole would be cast out from the church while the Gentiles who accepted him as Savior would be welcomed into the kingdom and receive the blessings promised to the descendants of Abraham. Matthew 8, 11 through 12. And I tell you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be thrown out into the darkness outside, where they will be weeping and grinding teeth. So God has set aside for protection all those who are part of the new covenant because they follow Jesus Christ. The rest of the people are handed over to the nations, where they will be trampled over for 42 months. This is hopeful, because now we've been set aside for protection, because we are part of the new covenant. Now let me talk about the two witnesses. John's vision then moves on to speak about two prophets. God tells John that he has ordained two prophets to witness to Jerusalem for 1,260 days. This equates to a 42-month period, made up of a month of 30 days each, and is related to the period preceding the full establishment of the kingdom of God, as is mentioned in verse 1 and 2. Excuse me. The two witnesses are dressed in sackcloth, which is a rough fabric woven of hair, the traditional dress of the prophets from Elijah through John the Baptist. This symbolized their mourning and their call for repentance for all. In biblical law, it is required that there are two witnesses in order to bring legal action. We find this in Hebrews 10, 28 through 29. Anyone who disregards the law of Moses is ruthlessly put to death on the word of two witnesses or three. And you may be sure that anyone who tramples on the Son of God and who treats the blood of the covenant which sanctify him as if it were not holy, and who insults the Spirit of grace, will be condemned to a far severe punishment. Most biblical scholars believe these witnesses represent Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. There is a connection to Moses and Elijah in verse 5. In Numbers 16:35, fire came down from heaven at Moses' command and consumed the false worshipers who had rebelled against his leadership. And in Two Kings 1:9-13, fire fell from heaven and destroyed Elijah's enemies when he called out. So most scholars believe these witnesses are symbolic and point beyond themselves. Both Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, have borne witness to Jesus' coming and his ministry. So this chapter describes their demise and that they are killed and treated with disrespect. This description speaks to what happened to the prophets sent by God throughout history of the people of Israel, culminating in the witness of John the Baptist. If you read about the prophets, they don't do too well. And the people don't like to hear what they have to say. And so they end up putting them to death. So now we come to the seventh trumpet. We come to the culmination of the buildup of the seventh trumpet. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Then the 24 elders fall on their faces and worship God. This seventh trumpet brings about justice, rewarding those who serve the Lord and was faithful. The first century reader would have realized that with the sounding of the seventh trumpet and the destruction of the old covenant Israel and the temple, that a new nation has been revealed, just as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 21:43-45, when Jesus was teaching in the temple and speaking to the chief priests and the elders. He told them the parable of the wicked tenants, and then he said, "I tell you, then the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit." When they heard his parables, the chief priests and scribes realized he was speaking about them. The seventh trumpet heralds a vision of God's temple in heaven and the Ark of his covenant. In the next chapter, we'll discover that the Ark of his covenant is Mary, the mother of God. So in chapter 11, we're told of protection for those who follow Christ and peril that is faced by those who do not. We see the two prophets witnessed of Christ and then their persecution by the world. We hear the seventh trumpet, which brings about voices in heaven proclaiming Christ, followed by worship and then judgment of the living and the dead. Then we see a vision of the ark within the heavenly temple, which is accompanied by lightning, thunder, earthquake, and hail. This brings to mind, for me, a saying my mom always told me, which I think is scripture. I meant to look that up. I'm sure you've heard it as well. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. As followers of Christ, we have been measured and have the promise of heaven through the death and resurrection of our Lord. As followers of Christ, we will be asked to witness to the good news of the salvation of the world. And as followers of Christ, we will always face persecution by those who do not understand or believe. We are in this world and will deal with worldly suffering, but we are not of this world because we belong to Jesus Christ. And with that, we have glimpses of heaven here on earth. We have the church. We are members of the new covenant. And as followers of Christ, we have hope in everlasting life.